At that time, Jesus declared, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Eternal God, who art the ultimate source of life and freedom and wisdom, our hearts turn to thee with joy and thanksgiving. We thank thee for the gift of eternal life, for the truth which makes us free, and for the work to which thou hast called us. Forgive our sin, we pray. Sanctify all of our thoughts and endeavors, and enable us to submit our souls to the correction and to the instruction of thy Spirit. Bless, we pray, all who study and teach on this campus, and send the Spirit of truth and of love into the hearts of thy people throughout the world, that they may be ministers of reconciliation in this time of peril and of trouble. We pray in these moments not only for ourselves and for this school, but also for the whole human family, most of whom are unknown to us, but all of whom are dear to thee. And we pray, we trust in the Spirit of thy Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. The message from the New Testament this morning is the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, "I believed, and so I spoke," we too believe, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You and I are engaged upon a difficult undertaking. It is our task to increase men's knowledge of God, to persuade persons to commit themselves to Jesus Christ and his way of life, to counsel them in their duties and difficulties, and to guide them into a more adequate understanding of the relation of the gospel to the church and to culture. In preparation for the fulfillment of this mission, we are devoting for a while our energy to the study of the Bible, the history of Christianity, the central themes and convictions in a Christian interpretation of life, and the work of the church on the front line of conscience and compassion in contemporary society. Although this work is carried on in a community of thoughtful and friendly people, we are tempted at times to become weary, to lose courage. And it is appropriate for us, near the beginning of a new term, to turn our minds to the first verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Twice in this chapter, we have the affirmation, we do not lose heart. A careful reading of the entire letter discloses three clues to what it was that prevented Paul from fainting or losing heart, and to what will enable us to meet our responsibilities and opportunities with courage and confidence without fainting or losing courage. In the first place, we do not lose heart because we have a sense of mission. We have been called to the ministry by the mercy of God. In some sense, we are apostles, as Paul was, sent forth on a mission in a fractured and frightened world. We are to be ministers of a new covenant, not in a written code, but in the Spirit. For the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. The God who was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. And as faithful preachers of the gospel message, and through the processes of friendship and intercessory prayer, we are to persuade men to be reconciled to God. This ministry, we believe, requires a thorough understanding of the structure of thought in the Bible, an understanding of the gospel, the church, human personality, and society, and a capacity to see ourselves as ambassadors for Christ. And so long as you keep this sense of mission, this awareness of a fundamental life purpose in your mind, you will not lose heart. Moreover, we do not lose heart because we have an open channel of communication with friends in the Christian community. We have learned from Jesus and from Paul to say yes and no, and to mean what we say. We have learned to speak the truth plainly to one another in a permissive atmosphere. We have learned to remove, as Paul said, the veil that prevents clear vision and understanding. In theological education, there is no substitute for unhurried conversation around the tables, in the cafeteria, in the classrooms, in the private rooms, on the campus. And there is no substitute for sincere and straightforward manifestation of the truth as one sees it. A few years ago, Dr. Hugh Hartshorn directed a study of higher education in the United States, the findings of which were published under the title, From School to College. It was a study primarily of those factors which enable students in higher education to do their tasks well, with an inner sense of joy and satisfaction. The study revealed that students who had open channels of communication with the people who were dearest in life to them had a tremendous advantage. An open channel of communication with the kinsfolk at home. An open channel of communication with teachers. An open channel of communication with fellow students. An open channel of communication with the members of a local congregation who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and try to bring all areas of life into harmony with His Spirit. And in the third place, we do not lose heart because we have access to the help which comes from God. In 2 Corinthians, we are told that our sufficiency, our competence for the work of the ministry, is from God. We are reminded that God sustains His servants. We are assured that He will comfort us. This word is used frequently in this letter. He will comfort us in all of our adversities in order that we may be able to comfort others who are in any affliction. I saw a letter from a theological professor overseas to a theological professor in the United States whose young daughter had died. And the heart of the letter was a quotation: God comforts us in our affliction in order that we may comfort others in their adversities. We encounter limitations, disappointments, hardships from time to time, but we grow in Christian maturity as we meet perils and even crises with the understanding that our help comes from God. Mary pondered many things in her heart. And for more than a quarter of a century, I have pondered in my heart what Paul went through before he wrote these words. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. A few years ago, the Princeton University Press published a book by Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn entitled Community Under Stress. It was a first-hand report of the ways people behaved in a concentration camp during World War II. It was a scholarly book by a very able person who had seen her loved ones die under stress, who had seen dear friends suffer beyond description in a concentration camp. And then a few years after the publication of this book, I had the high privilege of close fellowship with the author as she went through a long illness with an incurable disease that involved great pain. And throughout that experience, although the outward part was passing away, the inward part was renewed day by day because she had access not only to medical science, but also to the help that comes directly from God. So we do not lose heart. We have a sense of mission. We have communication with the people of God. We have access to the help that comes from our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.